Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And Tim, today we're talking about a very important problem, which is the time that we have and how we're spending, especially for kids today. It is so easy during this season of quarantine to spend all of my time on video games and smartphones and social media and all that kind of stuff.
It's true. I was talking to a publisher earlier this morning, and he just smiled when we were talking about how we were handling this situation. He goes, "We would not make it in World War II." And he was, of course, he was thinking about, you know, we're complaining about there's not enough screens in our home, or you know, we're you know, something's wrong with the video player or whatever. And it's just quite funny. But we are in the 21st century. And our kids have a new reality, and I think it's up to us as the parents, leaders, teachers, coaches, to really lead them well. And Andrew, I want to do something different on this podcast. I want to turn it around. Instead of you interviewing me, I'd really like to interview you, because you've become very aware of this issue. You've done some digging, and I just want to, if you don't mind, I'd love to kind of set you up to talk freely about this and then offer some practical ideas on how to lead our kids through this reality. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good. Okay. I'm in.
All right. So you and I were talking about a recent story with a friend of yours. Tell that story to kind of set up the conversation today.
This was actually the exact reason that I started down this path. Obviously, I'm always looking into video games and screen time and all those kinds of things, but I was talking to a friend of mine who is the mother of three teenage boys. And doesn't that sound like a good time right now? Mm-hmm. And what she told me is she's always experienced a challenge when it comes to teenage boys and video games, for instance, and screen time and all of that. But she said, the trouble I'm having right now in the midst of this season is that if I'm not paying attention, they'll just play video games all day long. It just won't end, right? And when I talk to them about better ways to spend their time, the message back to me is, "Mom, I got my homework done. I did all the things I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. What else am I supposed to do?" Right? And I think that that's probably a question that a lot of parents are facing, because honestly, my friend told me this because that's the exact question she was asking, is, what do I do? It actually reminded me of a conversation I had with a dad a couple years ago who asked me the exact same question. He said, my son is extremely intelligent. He finishes his homework so quick. And then he just goes and plays 3 or 4 hours of video games. And when I talk to him about it, the only thing he says is, I'm obviously smart enough. I don't need to spend more time on school, you know? And we're like, we want to debate that a little bit. I just think this is a problem that lots of parents especially are having. How to help their kids manage their screen time when there actually doesn't seem like there's anything better to do.
Well, and let me just follow you back with this thought. I think a lot of parents feel the tension between, I know they probably shouldn't play this many hours on the video games, but it's a babysitter. It's keeping them occupied. They're not bored. And if they're not playing those video games, they're going to be coming to me going, what should I do? I'm bored. And of course we go, why don't you go play video games? So it's you know, we need to be intentional, but we got to have a game plan if it's not going to be 8 hours of video games every day. So Andrew, are you thinking what I'm thinking? I'm guessing you are. We have a habitude image that really speaks to this.
Yes.
It's called Opportunity Statue. And you and I both love this story. Let me tell the story, and then I'd like you to make some application before we jump into your big ideas today. So folks, opportunity, while we know it as a word in our English language, was actually the name of a statue millenniums ago in ancient Greece. There was a time in Athens when some historians said there were more statues than people. That's how many statues there were everywhere. But there was one particular statue on the way into Athens, on the main road into Athens, Greece, that stood out because it was a normal human body from toe to neck. But the head was very different. It had long flowing hair coming down the front of the face, but was completely bald in the back, which served as a constant reminder you could grab a hold of opportunity when it was coming at you, but you could never get a hold of it once it had passed. And that is exactly what this is. As time passes, we look back and say, oh my gosh, I spent 5 hours playing, you know, Grand Theft Auto or whatever, and that time while that was not evil or wicked, that time could have been leveraged way better had we led them well. So you want to make an application to that at all? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think this is the exact situation that we're in. You know, when we teach that principle, we always, it comes along with the phrase time management, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what's interesting is opportunity, the concept of opportunity and time management are so linked.
Yeah.
And the
yeah,
reason they're yeah, so linked is because people who manage time well are people who see time as an opportunity,
yeah,
a
yeah,
constant opportunity in front of them. And this is where I would say, if you're going to talk to a kid about this, maybe your child or whomever about this, this is the operative mistake that I think a lot of kids make, which is to think, well, if I don't have anything better to do, as in if I can't actively think of something better to do,
yeah,
then that means I have a permission slip to just go play video games or, you know, waste time on a smartphone or whatever I'm going to do. And what I think that the mental shift that we need to help them make is to start seeing time as an opportunity.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah,
right now their time at home is an opportunity.
Yeah.
They will be hard pressed to find another time for the rest of their life where they have more free time, creative time, downtime that they could be leveraging for all sorts of activities.
Yeah.
Now, does yeah, this mean video games should never be played? That's not what I'm arguing at all whatsoever. In fact, there's a lot of social scientists today who are saying in the midst of this quarantine crisis,
yeah, yeah,
don't be afraid of letting your kids spend time on a screen. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But what I would also say is the fact that we have a lot of free time is not a license to waste it however
yeah,
we see fit. And that's really, I think, the important lesson here.
Well, you and I have enjoyed the notion that if we go back to ancient Greece, which we cannot, but if we could
cannot,
in our minds,
yeah,
the ancient Greek language actually had two words that connoted time.
Yes.
One was chronos, where we get our word chronology, and it meant simply the linear sequence of minutes and hours and days. The other one was kairos, which really was opportunity. This seize the moment, seize the time. So you and I both have come to believe if you manage your chronos well, the minutes and hours of each day, you'll have margin so you can seize the kairos, the opportunity when it comes. And a kid today, let's say you got a 16-year-old kid that's really good at video games, but if he or she said, you know what, I'm going to limit myself to 2 hours, which will free up some time, I might be able to do something very innovative and creative that produces something. Well, and again,
yes,
I want to be careful not to say video games are wrong. It's just that we could redeem the time so much better,
yes,
if we managed our chronos well. That's really what you're arguing today.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good. So, Andrew, you've got four equations that we love to talk about here, and I want you just to explain them and then apply them to this particular issue. I think this is going to help listeners. So talk about these four equations.
Yeah, I think some people could be listening to this up to this point and going, you know, this all sounds good, but you haven't met my 14-year-old son, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love for him to see the time as an opportunity, but that's not often the way that they're thinking. And so what we have found over time, in fact, this equations idea is something Tim's been talking about for years and years. This equations is really just a language. It's a tool you can use. You can put it in your tool belt that you can use to help your kids start to see life and their time and how they manage it in terms of a balance, right? So we're not going to say anything is wrong. Instead, what we're going to say is when you do one thing, you should balance that with another thing in order to create a little bit of more health in your life. So I want to introduce a couple of balances that I think if you introduced these equations into your child's life during this season, it might help them make the most of the opportunity that they have and all of that extra time. So let me walk through these.
All right, number one. Give us number one.
Number one is balancing screen time with face-to-face time. Now, this is one, Tim, you have talked about for years and years, and one that you actually even practice with your kids. But I find that this is a really good kind of base level understanding of how to go about life in the 21st century with all this extra time that we have on our hands. Despite the amazing things that you and I can see on a screen, the screen can never contain the complexities of the human face or the emotion that you might evoke when you have a conversation with someone else face-to-face, and this is why we like to balance screen time with face-to-face time. So here's my challenge. I would say challenge your kids to take regular breaks from their screens and interact with the faces that are right there in your house, right? And they may not love their 3 or 4 year younger brother or sister, but mm-hmm. this could be a really good opportunity for them to engage. May I even just say, a FaceTime with a friend is better than wasting time on a game on your phone or video games or whatever those other categories might be. And that is to say, I realize there's not that many faces they can actually spend direct FaceTime with. So if you need to encourage them to, call their grandmother on FaceTime, that's at least a step in the right direction. But here's how we balance it. Every hour we spend on a screen, we should try and spend the exact same amount of time talking to a face.
Yep. So I so agree with this, Andrew. And I'm just thinking about a teacher or a parent right now that would say, okay, if I'm going to give this little equation to my kid, what if he or she argues, well, I am interacting with my friends who are, I'm playing this video game remotely with. It's an internet video game. I would say it's not face-to-face though. So yes. It's not the fact that you're typing in a volley of a conversation with somebody else. It's them stopping on the screen, the virtual reality, and going to reality. And you're right, Andrew, there's nothing that takes the place with not just seeing a face grimacing in front of me, but then realizing I've got the ramifications. I can't turn this off like a screen. I've got to deal with this conflict that's with my sister or brother or uncle or mom or whatever, and that's where we want them to grow.
Yeah, I love that.
Good.
So good.
All right, so give us number two.
Number two, this one's about video games. I would say we should balance video games with real world problem solving.
Good.
Now,
let's talk about that.
For this one, video games, what happens when you play a video game is they cause a release of endorphins, similar to the feeling that you get when you solve a problem or navigate a challenging situation. Of course, the problem with when you're playing video games is that you haven't actually solved a real problem or navigated a real challenge. Those endorphins, in other words, have not been earned. You've leveraged them for a virtual challenge rather than an actual challenge. Ultimately, we're cheating the system that we have inside of us, which is designed to reward us for personal growth and achievement. This is why I like to balance video game time with solving real problems. So doing things that, on a simple level, doing something like putting together a puzzle, making a new recipe, designing something for a family member, or if you can do it on a bigger level and pick a problem in the world and brainstorm solutions. Well, there's a really big problem out there called COVID-19. You might actually challenge your kid just to say, hey, think about it for a little bit. Put yourself in the shoes of the president. How would you handle this situation? Or put yourself in the shoes of the mayor. How would you handle this situation? And I would just challenge them for every hour they spend playing a video game, which is artificial problem solving, take an hour to do some real world problem solving. Different things that they can do in the house, different challenges, but that's just a really good balance. It'll help them sort of get away from just solving virtual problems and solve some real ones.
Yeah, Andrew, you're spot on. It will not be hard, especially during this season, to find real problems in your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state, the country, and even the world. And even though they may not be taking over as the governor of your state, step into those shoes, but it's a real problem that at first, when my kids did this, they didn't come up with really good answers at first. They were actually kind of ridiculous, but they got better and better and better as they exercised that problem-solving muscle on real-world problems. So I love this. Good.
That's great.
All right, Andrew, give us number three.
Number three, balance social media with conversation. I have seen, and many of you are experiencing this now probably, but social media is often our only social outlet. In fact, this was a big problem for teenagers before the global pandemic that we're dealing with now. The problem is that social media can create an unrealistic picture of the world and a false understanding of how our friends and family are actually doing, right? You might have seen a post from a friend on Instagram and it looks like they're having the best time inside their house when actually they're really struggling that day. They're probably not going to post a picture about that, right? So it's not giving you a real picture of what's really going on. Just because you surfed someone's Instagram profile doesn't mean you know what's actually going on with them right then. So I would say challenge your kids to balance their social media time with real conversation, something that can't be edited before it's posted. So for every hour you spend online, try and spend an hour doing a virtual coffee chat. One of the things my family has done actually is we meet every 2 weeks and have family trivia night. So our whole family, literally we're in California and Virginia and Tennessee and from all of these different places, we're actually able to come together and have a family trivia night where we have fun together and we push one another and we ask great questions and try and see who can outsmart who. We'll have a study party. I might suggest also kids could have a study party with friends. The whole idea here is to get to know who the other people really are, not just the face that they've worked so hard to curate on that digital profile on social media. So this is just about getting down to brass tacks and having real, as much as you can, face-to-face conversation with other people.
Well, Andrew, what I like about this is in a real conversation, you can't filter anything.
Exactly.
You know, you and I have joked about how much, especially young, you know, middle school, high school kids are just using filters. And I know it's not limited to that age group, but, you know, the post is not even anything remotely like what real world is. You know, all the acne's gone, the hair looks great, you know, there's butterflies flying through the air. So real world conversation, as silly as this sounds, reminds them of what's real.
Absolutely.
And you and I, well, before we're done, I want to make sure and share a story of kids I know that have gotten so lost in the world of virtual reality that they've tried to embody it or imitate it, and it just turned out really awful because that became more real than the real world. So
yes.
I love this balancing of social media and real life conversation. That's just
absolutely. And by the way, isn't conversation a skill we're really going to want them to have when they get into adulthood?
Yeah.
And this is the reason why it's so important, is we can't let this moment be an excuse for, oh, well, I didn't talk to a whole lot of people just because I wasn't around people. Yeah. I think we have to work a little bit harder and make space for that.
This is actually teaching social and emotional learning day to day in your daily life. This is
it's experiential learning if there ever was it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
All right, Andrew, take us to number four.
Yeah, number four, the last one. I would say balance video streaming time. So this is Netflix and Disney Plus and Hulu and all of those. Balance video streaming time with creative time. So I love watching Netflix. I was just watching a Netflix show last night. But the reality is, after you watch 1 or 2 hours of a show, you start to feel drained. It's like your brain feels off a little bit. And I've read enough about the human brain. I am by no means an expert, but I've read enough to know exactly what's happening. Your brain is slipping after a time into a mental space that's not completely conscious, right? Basically, you're turning off and you're living in kind of this in-between zone. And it's the result of a consumptive mindset. Your brain switches into consuming mode. I don't have to work really hard, but I'm also not really resting or fully relaxing either. And I think the real balance here is to balance that consumption time with creative time. Mm-hmm. Creation, or being creative, is the best way you can give your kids to remind themselves that they should find their identity in what they can add or offer to the world, not just what they can take from the world. I find so many kids, when you ask them about who they are, they'll tell you about their favorite show. Mm-hmm. There's nothing inherently wrong about that, but the problem is that they're identifying themselves based on something they consumed, mm-hmm. not something they made and offered to the world. And I think this is there's some danger underlying there. So here's the challenge. Challenge your kids to balance that video streaming time with creative activities. Challenge them to write, to paint, sing, design, anything like this, anything that fits into that creative mindset. Try and balance it where, you know, we're not just consuming all the time, but we're also making something. My wife and I have every couple of weeks on a Saturday, we've actually had creative time. We break out the craft box and we paint and draw and all those kinds of things. And it's such a great reprieve to be able to balance that and do something just a little bit different.
That sounds like Anna to me.
Yes.
That's great. Yes.
Yeah. She loves
That's
it.
Fun.
She loves it.
Well, good. Well, this totally makes sense. At least it does to me. And I'm hoping it does to you too, listeners. So, Andrew, let me just recap these four big equations, okay? So you want to balance screen time with face-to-face time. You see how they correlate. Number two, you want to balance video games with real-world problem solving. Both are problem solving, but one is virtual. Number three, you want to balance social media interaction with real conversation. Face-to-face, social-emotional learning. And then number four, you want to balance video streaming time with creative time. One's a consumer, one's a creator. Both are good, but boy, is it easy to get lost in the wrong side of these equations. And I think we need to be intentional at leading these next generation leaders and the right ones. So Andrew, absolutely, this is helpful. Absolutely. Any sign off words you want to give us before
we I just want to reiterate, you know, I realize the challenge of having your kids in your home 24/7. It's not a normal reality for a lot of parents out there. And in fact, I would reiterate, I am reading the same researchers you guys are that are saying, in fact, this is a direct quote I read in one article, there is nothing toxic about screen exposure. I would just add to that, to a certain limitation, right?
Yeah.
There are negatives that can happen to screen overexposure. And so this is not about saying zero screen time whatsoever. That's why we talked about equations. I would just say challenge your kids to introduce balance into their life and sort of offset some of the over screen time that they're having right now.
Yeah, that's so good, Andrew. I'm thinking as we close about two stories that illustrate both extremes. One that didn't do the balancing acts very well and one that did.
Yeah.
So Andrew, in one of our books together, we talked about the episode that a 20-something had when he had played so many hours of the video game Frogger. Remember that game?
Yes.
That he thought, I'm going to go out and try to do that in real life. So if you know anything about Frogger, listeners, this is, you know, you're on a street and you're weaving in and out of, of traffic and so forth. And so this 20-something, he's a young man, actually. He's not a child. But he goes out there and he's weaving in and out of cars and he got hit by a car. And I'm thinking, what else would you do in busy traffic if you're in the traffic but get hit? But the point I'm making is he regrets it now. But I'm thinking, what caused this young adult to get so lost in thinking that maybe this would be fun to do in real life? He had left reality.
Yes.
It's too many hours on a screen. And as silly as it sounds, that's what the extreme looks like. Too many hours on the screen. I'm not even in touch with how people really interface from day to day. Now, on the other hand, you and I both know Peyton Robertson. So Peyton, when he was 11 years old, this was several years ago. He's a teen now. This was during Hurricane Sandy when it hit the Northeast, the coast. It just wreaked havoc. And when he was watching a screen, it happened to be a news program. He saw that the sandbags that they were setting out to stop the rushing water were not working. Somehow the water seeped in between the sandbags and was still getting through. Well, Peyton, just 11 years old at the time, started devising this solution. Andrew, he was doing the creating, not just the consuming.
Yes.
And he came up with sandless sandbags. In fact, he called them SOS, sandless operational sandbags. And he invented them, came up with a prototype, beta tested it, it worked, and they put them in operation. And this kid was given awards for coming up with this sandless sandbag. Now, has somebody else done that somewhere across the world? Of course they have. I'm sure they have. But here's an 11-year-old that somehow leveraged the screen time he had, and it thrust him into the real world to solve a very real problem. I love that equation.
Fantastic story. And that's exactly what we're talking about. By not giving our kids the opportunity to do something different, we're assuming they couldn't make better use of their time, but I know that they can. I really do.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for sharing that story. Thank you guys for listening. If you're asking how to engage with your kids around some of these ideas, we actually have a free resource that might help you do just that. If you're curious about how do I do fun, exciting, but helpful and things that are good for personal growth, things at home, we've got a great tool for you called Home Chats, and it's completely free. So if you go to growingleaders.com/homechats, you'll find this resource. There are 8 different conversation starters there. They've got activity ideas. They've got discussion questions, stories of situations that happened during the COVID-19 pandemic that you can tell with your kids, as well as different family fun activities that you can do together. So we want to invite you to check that out completely free, growingleaders.com/homechats. That might be just the resource that you need to have a little bit more fun at home. Well, as always, if you'll rate this podcast, that gets the word out about what we're doing here. 5 stars is preferable, but feel free to rate it however you see fit. If you want to connect with us on social media, follow us at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. Pretty much everywhere you are, we are there. And then lastly, if you have an idea for this podcast, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. Whether it's somebody you want us to interview or a topic you want us to cover, we love getting those emails for you or from you. And of course, if this is really helpful to you, or you feel like you could think of somebody who may benefit from hearing this conversation, please just feel free to share it with them. We'd love for you to do that. Well, Tim, thank you for interviewing me. This was a whole lot of fun to get to talk about.
It was.
Thank you guys for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.